Every single morning after I eat a balanced breakfast, I make myself a cinnamon latte with beans from Purity Coffee. High quality coffee is important to me and my cycle health. Purity is organic, it's third party tested, so it ensures it's free of pesticides, toxins, and mycotoxins, and you get that clean energy all without the jitters, anxiousness, or crashes. Use code JUSTAFAZE at checkout to enjoy 20% off your Purity Coffee purchase. I promise you, you will think it's delicious and you won't regret it. We were just fighting so hard.
We were just fighting. I mean, it's every day we're fighting.
Fist fight. I literally was hanging Carly upside down.
No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
No, we weren't fighting. We were just like arguing, and now we're about to start a podcast. But before this, I wish you guys saw. Elena goes, I'm just putting a song on, and we're just going to dance. And Elena was the only one dancing.
Nobody danced with me. It was the Calm Down song by Selena Gomez. And
she was twerking on Carly's head. Anyway... Let's get into birth control, huh?
That's why we're here today.
We want to talk about the impact of birth control, and that's, we're talking about hormonal birth control on your cycle, because all of us, like when we were put on the pill back in the day, our doctors didn't tell us what it was actually doing to our body. And if you're listening to this episode, you might not be aware either. So we are really excited to dive in and just, I guess we can just start with, let's get one thing straight. We're not anti-hormonal birth control.
Yes.
And we're not anti-pill or anti-IUD, but we are anti-medication without information. So let that sink in. We just want, if you're being put on a medication, we just want you to know how that's impacting you, the negative health side effects, you know. Are the positives outweighing the negatives?
Yes.
Like, you need to think about these things.
Yes. Because when we were younger and we were put on hormonal birth control, I didn't ask one question. And no, also that information wasn't volunteered at all by my doctor.
We didn't ask anything. And I also just think it's because when you're younger, you're just not thinking about that stuff. And like,
no.
our mom, she probably didn't even know. So she didn't want to advocate and be like, should I put them on? Because I feel like when you hit a certain age and you're dating someone in middle school or high school, it's like immediately, okay, it's time to go on hormonal birth control. And then we just don't even know why we're going on it.
I feel like that generation, they were just taught like it helps you prevent pregnancy.
Totally.
And that was the main reason that women were put
younger,
on it.
That's the main reason to go on it. I guess that does make sense. Like just to be safe.
And I think also as a teenager, you look at a doctor as like an authority figure and you're not willing to question anything or think critically about it. You take their advice and you feel like it's kind of like law in some way. And you're like, okay, if my doctor says to do this, then I must do this. But now we know that it's okay to question things and to be a critical thinker about certain things, especially when it comes to medication.
That's such a good way to view it. I didn't even think about that. Especially when you're younger and you just think everyone older than you and above you is correct.
Yes.
And is the law.
So we're here to say, always question it. And it's okay to question and think critically. So the other thing too is birth control definitely gave menstruators really a lot more freedom to have careers and to, you know, do maybe hit goals in their life that they couldn't if they had children. Mm-hmm. And that is amazing. But the beef that we have is when birth control is prescribed for hormone imbalances or health conditions,
cycle issues.
Yes, because it is just a band-aid that is managing the symptoms. It's not curing the problem at hand. And that is where we're like, okay, there's other options. You have other options. And what if you are put on birth control for bad periods? Honestly, they're going to come back when you come off of it. So why not just...
Also, with hormonal birth control, I just thought about this. A lot of people go on it because they have so many issues coming up for them, like acne and bloating and whatever. But the Band-Aid is a hormonal birth control. So when you put that Band-Aid on, that Band-Aid is low-key also causing other problems and stopping other things that are supposed to be happening naturally.
It's like, so you're trading symptoms like for
you're
symptoms.
You're trading symptoms for symptoms. Exactly. So like while there are great things that do come with hormonal birth control, like being safe and not getting pregnant, at the same time, there's so many side effects. And we're so passionate about this because we've all been through this and we've seen friends and family who've also been through so many things in regards to hormonal birth control. Yeah.
So we're not here to scare you, but we're here to help you remember that you have other options. We want you to look into the root cause of things. And that is the whole goal here.
Yes.
Let's go into the main question. How does hormonal birth control actually work? So when we're talking about hormonal birth control, we are referring to birth control that contains synthetic forms of hormones. So the pill, the patch, IUD, the implant, or the shot. And all of these things prevent pregnancy because they produce a small amounts of man-made estrogen and progestin. And those hormones work to like stop our body from its natural hormone fluctuations and to stop our body from ovulating.
Which is actually crazy to think about. And especially when you're young, like your body's developing and it knows what it's supposed to be doing. And then you're kind of just like stopping it from functioning.
You're literally halting the whole process. I'm so glad you brought it up because I want to say that this was in Jolene Brighton's book, Beyond the Pill, but a woman's menstrual cycle after puberty, it takes about 10 to 12 years, I think it is, for the cycle to fully mature. So if you're 14 and you get your period and you have horrible periods for like 6 months, and then all of a sudden you're put on hormonal birth control to help with that, your cycle only got like 6 months to mature.
I feel like I only had a couple of years of maturing before I was put on the pill, but like literally thinking back, I'm like, oh my God, that is so crazy.
That I know.
And we didn't even know what our period would be like.
And knowing what we know now, like when we were in high school, we definitely all wouldn't have went on it. Like,
no,
I wouldn't have went on it now that I think about it. Like we basically went on it because our mom was like, all right, it's time to go to the gyno and get the pill.
Yes. But I mean, and again,
not to blame her.
I know everyone.
It's your fault.
Everyone's situation is different. And we'll touch on that because I think one of the questions our audience asked was like, my friend's thinking about putting their 12-year-old on it. Like, what should I say? So everyone's situation is different. We totally understand that. But yeah, looking back on it and knowing like, okay, I just got my period at, I think I was 17. And I remember I only had it for like 3 months and then I went on the pill. Like, no wonder why I had so many issues when I came off of it 10 years later, because my cycle didn't even get its chance to like do its thing. So before we hop into the way that hormonal birth control works, I also just want to preface, Carly listed off some of the options that each one is going to be different. Some are going to contain both estrogen and progesterone. Some are going to contain just progesterone or just estrogen. And keep in mind that those are the synthetic forms of those hormones. Estrogen and progesterone are the natural forms that our body creates, but estrogen and progestin
are not the right ones.
Yeah. In hormonal birth control are not the natural forms of those hormones.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of confusing that they would label it almost similar.
Well, if you think about it, a pharmaceutical company they have to create something synthetic in order to sell it.
Interesting.
You think it's interesting, but they did it on purpose.
They did it on purpose, probably natural. But to make it confusing.
Yeah, exactly.
It is kind of cool, though, that there are different options, at least, like the IUD versus, or like the copper IUD mm-hmm. versus the pill. And like, it just, mm-hmm. it's nice that there are options for people
to
choose from.
For sure.
But I still feel like the education is so not there
yeah.
about the options. People are still coming to us thinking they're having a real period when mm-hmm. they're on the pill. And we're like, wait, what?
Yeah. And we'll touch on that.
So how does hormonal birth control actually prevent pregnancy? The main thing here is that, you know how we talked about the four phases and how you experience ovulation and mm-hmm. and then therefore you can have a period and you can experience the four phases. Well, when you're on hormonal birth control, you're not experiencing the four phases. You physically cannot ovulate. It shuts down ovulation. And what's really interesting here is that your brain has to communicate with your ovaries
mm-hmm.
to, there's a system in place where that's how we are ovulating.
Yes.
And birth control comes in and they're like, it's like the mute button. They like put the mute button on. There's no text messages going through. There's no phone calls.
I was just
going
to say, like, cut the cord on the phone.
Cut the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Like, you physically cannot communicate and then therefore mm-hmm. like have a natural cycle. So I think that's really interesting. And I'm not sure if you want to get into the science of things, but what you do need to know is that, and double check with your provider, but your birth control is likely shutting down ovulation.
The synthetic hormones that are in hormonal birth control are also going to prevent your endometrial lining from fully developing. So if something was to happen,
You physically
couldn't, you know, implantation couldn't happen.
And then also one of your biomarkers for fertility is cervical mucus, and you need a lot of it and healthy cervical mucus to be fertile. And birth control actually doesn't allow your body to produce that right cervical mucus. Lisa Hendrickson Jack, she wrote the book, The Fifth Vital Sign. She's absolutely amazing for all things fertility awareness.
Please get her book.
But she actually states that hormonal birth control stimulates the excessive development of the G-type cervical mucus, so the thick, dense, and dry mucus. And what's important for you to know here is that when there's like dense mucus and it's dry, it's not conducive to allowing a sperm to come in and and do its thing.
Exactly.
The dryness is kind of like if you think of like a brick wall. It's literally like a plug. Mm-hmm. It's like trying to keep bacteria out, trying to keep sperm out. Mm-hmm. And therefore, so if you are on hormonal birth control, you actually might notice you're dry, girl.
Yeah,
you're dry. Yeah. I remember when I was on birth control, I was having trouble feeling like I could be, I guess, wet in a gross term. Like it was dry and sex hurt sometimes.
Oh, so you're saying you couldn't get wet.
Yes. And that's so gross.
No, but it's like, true.
It's true. And but that's I remember why sex being
sometimes
like,
sucks on birth control and it makes no sense because it's like you're doing it so that you don't get pregnant, but then you also don't like having sex.
Exactly. There's so much irony there because your libido tanks too.
Yeah.
But I just remember being like, is something wrong with me? It hurts. It hurts. And
but
so
I feel like that happens to so many people probably now that like now they know what they know now, or like if they're listening, they're probably like,
realize
that does make sense. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when you're younger and in high school, you still don't really understand any, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And similarly, like if you have low estrogen, estrogen is actually tied to cervical mucus. So the more estrogen you have, the more cervical mucus you have. So if you're dealing with like, if you're dry all the time and you're dealing with painful sex and all of that, you should look into your estrogen levels because you likely like could be low in it.
Yes.
But anyway, so honestly, like birth control is effective AF at its job
at preventing
pregnancy.
Yeah. Yes. No, which is great for those who want that. But there are other ways to prevent
for pregnancy. Sure. This is where we have the problem, though. More than half of the women that are prescribed the pill are taking it for reasons other than to prevent pregnancy. Dr. Jolene Bryan said that. It is so interesting. People are taking the pill not to prevent pregnancy. They're taking it for a million other things like menstrual pain.
And acne.
Acne, irregular periods, missing periods, which is ironic because it shuts your period off anyway.
But the
looking
other,
back, LOL.
The ones that are big, are PCOS and endometriosis because with PCOS, you're going to have irregular cycles. So doctors will say it's going to quote unquote regulate your cycle, which really doesn't make any sense if you really think about it. And then endometriosis too, like the period pain. So essentially it's shutting down that whole cycle from happening so you won't experience pain.
Mm-hmm. And it's essentially just like a Band-Aid. So it could really, like those of you listening might actually be like, oh my gosh, I feel good on the pill because it stopped me from having horrible heavy periods and my migraines went away, etc. But then if you really are thinking about it, like what happens when you come off? Are those symptoms going to come back? And if they do, what then? And usually doctors say, oh, just go back on the pill.
And a lot of times people will come off and then
be
it's
scared.
Like a tornado. Things start to happen and it's not usually, sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's bad. Like I know people who come off and they're like, I feel like a weight is lifted off of me. I'm not depressed anymore. I don't have anxiety. So there's like that good side. But then when you do come off, the people who went on the pill because they had acne, migraines, and PMS and XYZ, they come off and then those symptoms are still lingering. They're still around. And then they just say, you know what? I'm just going to go back on.
If you think about it, like having car trouble. So like say there's a car that has XYZ wrong with it. Like I don't know anything about cars, so I can't come up with like a good issue. Something's up with the engine and it smokes every time the car is on. So let's just shut it off. That's what the pill is. Let's just shut the car off and everything will be fine. But then what happens 5-10 years down the line when you're ready to start having kids and you need to turn the car back on, you need to turn your cycle back on. Like you turn it on,
the car's
gonna smoke.
Shit's going bright.
Shit's gonna smoke again. And so I think that's what we get pissed about because we are such fierce advocates for women and women's health now, and we just see the pain that these women go through when they're put on the pill or any sort of hormonal birth control and they're on it for 10 years and then all of a sudden they're ready to start their family at age 29 and they're going through hell for years and they can't get pregnant for years because there were all these hormonal issues that were not addressed at a young age and we
so
just
true.
Watch them go through pain and that's what really gets us.
And at the end of the day, it does lead to fertility and conceiving and stuff like
We do also want to say that not everyone's going to have the same experience. I know Julie touched on that before, like some women are going to be able to come off easily and their cycle comes back immediately and everything's fine. Some women feel amazing on the pill. Some women don't. So everyone's experience is going to be different. We're not saying that this is exactly what's going to happen to you, but just know that if you did have issues before, it's likely that they're still going to be there and that you might have to come to terms with that.
And then down the line could in fact affect your fertility, which that's the end goal for us. I feel like to just educate and bring awareness to it, because there are some people who probably know the side effects and they're like, well, I'm still going to stay on it. And that's fine.
I also think it's very interesting. You know how you have a withdrawal bleed on the pill? So like you kind of see like that brown stuff every month.
Everyone thinks that's their period.
And I used to think it was my period growing up. And until I learned that it's literally this, you're going to think this is wild. Back in the day in the 1960s, when the pill was being formulated and tested, doctors actually added a week of the sugar pills so that it would make women who were on the pill to feel more comfortable that they were bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
So literally,
so it would psychologically make them feel like, I think that's why so many people believe that it is their period. Like they genuinely deep down inside believe like it is a withdrawal. Like
it was like a sense of normalcy. So can we just talk about
how they did
that,
a good job. They like, knew
these, who created this?
These scientists, I mean, honestly, not shitting on conventional medicine because we need it and we need conventional doctors. But like when you think about that, it's like, wow, we want these people to like the pills. So let's make it so that they feel a sense of normalcy and let's make it so that they, you know what I mean? Like it's just, it's wild. So long story short, that bleed in quotations that you see when you're on the pill, it's not your actual period.
It's your body withdrawing because you're not taking medicine that week. You're not taking that medication that week.
The question, does hormonal birth control balance my hormones? The answer,
Absolutely not.
And I'm sorry, your doctor might say it to you. They might say this regulates your cycle. But as Elena had mentioned earlier, the hormonal birth control, no matter what form you're on, cannot regulate your cycle.
Yes.
It is shutting down your natural hormone fluctuations and ovulation and your period. So it's not going to regulate anything. So when you do hear that, just know that's not the case. And this is where it's like really scary sometimes, because always get a second opinion or always go and be a fierce advocate of yourself and like go and do the research online. I feel like there's a lot more resources now.
Totally. Just to give you a picture, and I'm we might have said this in a previous episode, but on hormonal birth control, your hormones are like flat as a pancake. They're like your natural hormone production of estrogen and progesterone.
If you look on like a chart,
straight across on a chart. But if you were to see your natural hormones during a natural cycle without any sort of synthetic hormones, they're going to be fluctuating quite a bit.
AKA so, the four phases of your cycle and what we experience now.
Naturally. Right. Yeah.
And so I just want to actually do a quick recap. So if you're listening and you're like, I'm confused, this is how your cycle is impacted by hormonal birth control. You take that pill or the IUD or whatever, it shuts down communication between your brain and your ovaries, which means that your body is not producing its own hormones naturally, which means it doesn't allow you to ovulate, which means it doesn't allow you to have a real period, which means it shuts down your menstrual cycle entirely, and it doesn't allow you to go through the four phases of your cycle, which means that you don't experience the natural cyclical ebbs and flows of your hormones, which means that you're actually missing out on all of the amazing short and long-term health benefits that come along with your hormones. Like, we need those fluctuations to feel good. We always talk about how there's like superpowers in our phases, you know? And I just feel like we are doing our community a disservice if we're not preaching that from the rooftops.
Well, honestly, it's one of the things that I've always wanted to say too, but I was afraid of like backlash, is we're put on this medication for 10 years or so, and we're missing out on, like you said, all of those natural hormones that are protective of our health.
Especially like, you two were on birth control for 10 years. Like Elena and Carly were on it for more than that.
Like these hormones, like they're protecting our bones and our brains. So like 10 years of missing out on that, how is that acceptable?
Here's an example, the development that was missing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. How is that acceptable?
But it's confusing because I was on birth control for, I think, 2 years max. And I ended up deciding, I think we're going to dive into our stories briefly in a little bit, but I wasn't on it for that long at all. And I just made the decision not based on, I didn't know any of this stuff. So I just genuinely was like, I feel weird. I don't want to be on it. I don't feel like myself. And it's just crazy to think about, like, I'm still up going through this.
I know.
No, like at the time when I did come off, it did impact me. And I didn't even know. And I wish I did so much back then, like take a few supplements, maybe get my hormones tested and do a few things, because I do feel like that is causing me problems now.
Yes, because still, you weren't making you weren't working on the foundations at that time because you didn't know what to do.
Didn't know.
You didn't make the connection.
Yeah, and you go on and that's it, and you come off and that's it. There's nothing else you have to do, but that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm. I did want to say, to touch on your point of how like we need these short and long-term hormone fluctuations for our health. One way that hormonal birth control actually it's like a negative side effect, but it affects your bone health and mm-hmm. it actually impairs your bone density. And here's a quick little story. When I was like 10 years into being on birth control, I actually did a back squat at soccer and I broke my spine.
Oh, I remember this.
And yeah, I went to the doctor.
Brace.
And I wore a back brace. Everyone in the athletic center made fun of me.
Were you dating Billy at the time?
I think I was, yeah. And I remember being like, this is so crazy that my bone broke, like, just by doing a squat. Like, what is the deal? And I remember my doctor did a bone density test on me, and it was like, it wasn't the best it could be as a healthy athlete
in
college.
What doctor? Your gyno or someone at the sports?
It was a specific doctor for the bone breakage.
Oh.
But I remember being like, what do you mean my bones aren't like the healthiest they could be? I'm an athlete. I'm like, I'm relatively like healthy. I don't understand. So I just, looking back, that connection, it's like being on birth control likely messed with my bone density.
That definitely mm-hmm. did.
100%.
Like, yeah.
And just to touch on other ways that it impacts you negatively, we don't want to scare you, of course, but always read like the labels on your hormonal birth control and just know that it actually can impact it could give you headaches. It literally gives you potential relief for your migraines, and then it actually gets worse. It could come back worse, and it's a vicious cycle.
Ugh. When you come off of it. People deal with that all the time, like major, major migraines. Yep. Like, I personally have never really dealt with that, but when I get a headache randomly, which is rare, I'm like, holy
shit. Oh, you're like, you are.
I don't know how people deal with that, and it makes sense. Like, it's fixing your headache in the moment, but then later on it's going to be even mm-hmm. worse, like we kept saying with the Band-Aid.
One of the major ones is that it can cause nutrient deficiencies in things like B vitamins, vitamin C, magnesium, selenium, zinc, antioxidants.
So which even if you have a healthy diet, it might not even be able to absorb
because it's a low grade stressor too on the body. And so that's a problem for your hormone, for your thyroid health.
And that's why when you come off, you have to then replenish all those minerals
right.
lost.
And we're going to have a second episode about birth control, and that one's going to be all about how to come off safely, what our recommendations would be for that. But anyway, that bothers me too about the thyroid. We need those nutrients in order to produce mm-hmm. thyroid and to be able to utilize it properly. And that's huge for our metabolism.
Yes. And Elena, your mineral density is actually like the foundation also of your hormone health. And like, how are we supposed to get healthier if we can't even absorb the vitamins and nutrients and minerals into our own bodies? Another interesting way that hormonal birth control impacts your brain is that it literally impacts the structure, the function, your mate selection. So apparently there are studies that show that if you're on hormonal birth control and you're dating someone, it might not be the right person to you, because I think it's because of like, it masks the pheromones or the smells. There's something going on there.
Yes. Look into this. If you're interested in this topic, it is wild. It really does. It for some people, it makes you choose the wrong mate. And I remember at one point we were joking, me and you were like, thank God we chose the right mate because you and I
could have messed up.
Yeah, we could have really messed up.
It increases risk for heart attacks. It actually impacts your gut. I don't know, Elena, if you want to talk about this one.
Yes, it increases intestinal hyperpermeability, so leaky gut. And it also is going to disrupt the balance of bacteria in your gut, which, I mean, the gut is like the foundation of your entire health. And so if that's
connected to everything, when people talk about the hormones, also the gut is like the first thing
thing to look at. And I also want to say too, just personal story, it impacted my vaginal microbiome as well. And when I was on hormonal birth control, I felt amazing. And I had I had symptoms that I didn't even know were connected to it. But in general, I felt amazing mood wise and weight wise and all that stuff. But I was having yeast infections like every couple
of months.
And
that is not normal.
And they wouldn't go away, you guys, without antibiotics. Like, I remember having to get many rounds of antibiotics to deal with yeast infections. And that was because my gut microbiome was...
Antibiotics, then sometimes can mess with your gut too. So that's...
Yes. Essentially depletes all the bacteria in your gut. Good and bad.
I forgot about that.
You could see how it could become a vicious cycle. We touched on libido already, but yes, your body produces more sex hormone binding globulin, which is going to latch onto the free testosterone, which is going to bring your libido way down. It's going to impact your bone health, Mm-hmm. Mood. Oh, like
mood's a big one.
The stats. I wish I got some more stats in terms of causing depression, but it does definitely increase your risk of having depression and having to be on antidepressant.
And I just wanted to touch on cancer because I know doctors, they'll say, oh, hormonal birth control actually reduces the risk of cancers like ovarian cancer or uterine cancer. But here's the thing. It can actually increase the risk of other types of cancers. Mm-hmm. So like brain cancer, liver, breast cancer.
Why is that? Because of all the synthetic things estrogen that are inside of
synthetic estrogen.
And I think it's because it's shutting down our natural hormone fluctuations that we need for preventing. Anyway, we can go on and on. Like it can impact your
weight changes, Carly.
Your blood pressure, your gallbladder, literally just a million different things. Also the blood clot risk. Like see that Justin Bieber is what's his Haley. Wife?
How do you not know her name?
Listen, I don't know her. To be honest,
Hailey Bieber,
Carly and I,
my wife,
Carly and I are legitimately so
out. They're so out.
We have no idea what's cool. I don't need to
know about Justin Bieber's
wife.
You guys
are the baby boomers. You're not even millennials. You don't know anything.
We really don't ever say that I'm a baby boomer. That generation is messed up.
Carly!
I'm sorry. They are.
So that is not true. There are some incredible baby boomer moms.
We're not going to cut that out. We love that generation, but...
We love that generation. Julie's
But I will say, like, if I bring something up to Elaine and Carly, I'm like, oh, did you see that? Or like, oh my God, Hailey Bieber, this, that. And they're just like, what? Like,
they know. Julie tries to talk to
Carly and Elaina clearly Swift. Have their priorities straight because they don't give a shit about this other stuff.
All I want to say is, what's her name again? Hailey Bieber had a blood clot and connected it to the birth control that she was on. And we know someone actually personally who had been dealing with that too.
And apparently she does have like endo and like issues mm-hmm. with that. So
long story short,
but don't quote me.
It makes sense when you see these negative health side effects. And so our problem with hormonal birth control is like, why are we taking this pill and exchanging symptoms for symptoms? Like we were saying, like, why?
Well, just a lot of the time it's because people aren't educated, but now you're educated. So there's no excuse to make a decision that's best for you.
If you want
to
laugh though, go on TikTok or on Instagram and look up like birth control side effects. And there's so many videos of people showing their like husbands or boyfriends the insert, like whole like paper. It's like it's folded so small and then you open it and it's massive.
Oh,
and
the
it
has, direction.
And yep. It has
it's
all
like, stop
the
using
side
if you
effects.
Have diarrhea. Yeah.
Carly mentioned earlier, well, just make sure you check the box or read the directions. And we actually did a reel on this. I'm like, read the directions. It's literally 10 pages
long.
We'll link it. It is 10 pages long. If you want to read it, good for you. But literally look on TikTok because the videos are so funny.
Also, I hope this opens your eyes to when you're watching TV and you see a hormonal birth control commercial and they have like a ballerina like going throughout her day and she's doing leaps in the store and she's like so pretty and she's so happy. But on the bottom, it's like, literally writing all
risk
the
for diabetes.
Like it's saying all of the risks as you're watching this like beautiful whimsical dancer like do her thing.
It's so
just
up.
don't be fooled. Like also don't even get me started. Like America's allowed to market these medications on TV. It's illegal to do that in Europe.
I know.
Like don't market me a medication.
I know.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
It's hard to know who to trust.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And if
I don't trust commercials.
If you've gotten that far, again, just wanted to reiterate, we are happy that hormonal birth control exists and we are happy that it is an option, but we are very unhappy about the way it is prescribed, and it's prescribed as it's overly prescribed for these hormonal issues that women are going through.
And personally, we'll never go on it again.
If you want to hear our personal view,
that's our view.
Yes.
Take it or leave it, but that's our f-ing view.
Yes. If you want to come off of hormonal birth control now, because you're like, all right, these girls are really serious about it.
I never want to say this word again. HBC. I'm tired.
If you do want to come off, we're here to tell you there's a safe way to do it. Don't quit cold turkey. We're going to have a whole episode, next episode, talking about everything we think you should implement before you come off. So don't, even today, right now, today, do not. You wait a week until you see our next episode.
I know so many people who just come off and they're like, yeah, I just stopped. I'm like, oh man, but it's okay. You can if you want. Yes. We're not saying to do that, but just wait for our next episode because we'll give you so many tips and tricks.
Well, so here is why. We're going to go into our stories now. Here is why we don't want you to quit cold turkey, because we've gone through it And we don't want you to go through potentially what we did.
This is Elena. Go back and listen to our stories, that first podcast episode, because we go into it in a little bit more depth. But I'll give you like a 2-minute overview.
Yeah.
So essentially, I got my period at 17. It was so late. And every time I got it, it was super heavy. I would bleed for like 2 weeks and then I wouldn't bleed for like 6 weeks. And then I'd bleed and it was painful, all this stuff. Go into the doctor. She diagnoses me with PCOS. I had cysts on my ovaries. And so immediately she puts me on the pill and she tells me it's going to be really hard for you to get pregnant one day without medication. And this is the way it is. This is how you're going to regulate your cycle. And this is how we're going to get rid of the cysts. So I go on birth control for 10 years. I feel amazing mood wise. Like I said, I felt stable. My weight was like great. I'd never had fluctuations. I had all these random side effects I didn't know. Like I was talking about like the yeast infections and getting sick all the time from my gut microbiome being a mess. But when I was 27, so 2017, I think, I came off right after my wedding and I didn't do any prep whatsoever. I had started having panic attacks within a couple weeks and terrible panic attacks to the point where they were debilitating. I couldn't go anywhere. I was afraid of driving. Like it was the most random thing. I never had anxiety in my life and depression and mood swings. My period came back relatively quickly afterwards, but the psychological symptoms that I was experiencing were next level. And
you didn't even like, I feel like that wasn't normal. No, like, no one else was experiencing
no.
that.
Or no one was talking
no
about
one
it.
Was talking about this stuff. I go to all these conventional doctors. They don't even want to test my hormones. They tell me right to go back onto hormonal birth control or take an antidepressant. One doctor, my OBGYN, told me I probably had PMDD because I was having these panic attacks. So I was going through all this stuff and I had no support whatsoever, like literally whatsoever I wasn't even really connecting the dots until I found this really like sketchy Reddit thread with all these women who were talking about these symptoms that they were experiencing after coming off of hormonal birth control. And it was spot on what I was experiencing. So that's when Carly and I came together because she's going to tell her story, but we came together and we were like, holy shit, it's the birth control. That's why we're feeling this way. We were on it for 10 years. We had no idea how it was impacting.
It's that aha moment. Yeah. Like how did you guys even put that together?
I'm telling you, it was fate. Like, it's the whole reason why we're doing what we do today, because I felt so deceived. I felt so uncared for, because every time I went to the doctor, they were like, yeah, no, it's just you. It's literally just
they
you.
Gaslight.
And it
pisses me off.
They make you feel crazy. Like,
They made me feel crazy. I'm like, I haven't had anxiety once in my entire life and I'm having panic attacks and you're just telling me to go on another medication without trying to help me figure out what it is. Like, this is disgusting. And I want no woman to ever feel the way I felt so isolated. And it was just the worst time of my entire life. But it is the reason why then we dove into all this mm-hmm. stuff. And that's
so
why we're here.
Thank you for those experiences.
Exactly. Again, don't want to scare you that this is what's going to happen to you when you come off. It was just my experience and having no knowledge of what was going on or how that medication was impacting me. I think that's what really would have made the difference if I knew. So that's kind of my story. I don't know if I skipped over any part of it, but that's pretty much it.
I feel like we'll do another episode where you and I can really go into depth and share the resources and everything. So I'll just briefly tell my story quickly. This is Carly speaking. I went on the pill back when I was 15 or 16 because I had a boyfriend and our mom was like, it's time. Like, literally.
Wait, were
like,
you in? You were
time.
In high school. Like, we were all in high
yeah.
school.
Yeah, and like we were saying, it was just because she was nervous that we would get pregnant. And it felt like a safe choice, honestly, because everyone I knew was on hormonal birth control too. So it just seemed normal.
Well, it was the norm. That's what everyone was doing. We didn't even, it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, I know. And I felt fine, you know, in quotations for a while. But when I went to college, I actually started to experience all the symptoms that were like weird for a healthy athlete.
Acid
like
reflux.
I was suffering with depression randomly. And I remember thinking, I'm so happy. Why do I feel sad? Yeah. I remember. And I was like afraid to even tell Billy.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I'm content with my life. What is going on?
I know.
And anxiety, mood swings. I had low libido, vaginal dryness, which I talked about earlier.
Oh, I had low libido too. I forgot to say that.
And irritability, like.
Irritability.
I was content with my life and then I would cry at a commercial that had a dog in it. Like it didn't make sense. And I didn't know that there was the connection to birth control. So when I finally decided to come off 10 years, so like I forget how old I was, I cut cold turkey with Elena, like on the same day.
Same day.
Even though we were telling people not to do that, but this is why.
That's why we're telling you not to do it. And that's when I started to experience like the post-birth control syndrome symptoms. So my estrogen levels were alarmingly low, like to the point where my uterine lining was like paper thin.
This is crazy.
My doctor was like, your uterine lining is so thin that it's physically impossible for you to have a period. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't ovulating, obviously, and I wasn't producing progesterone. So when you don't have enough progesterone in your body, you feel all the things. And so essentially,
you don't feel calm. You feel, you're anxious.
And essentially my body was in menopause. Like I experienced menopause at the age of like 25.
Dang, you were like 20, yeah, 25.
And I just looking back, it was funny because like there were nights when it was negative 15 degrees outside and I would have all the windows open and I would be naked on the bed and Billy would be like bundled up with the blanket and he's like, can we shut the windows? And I'm like, I'm so hot, we're not shutting the windows. Anyway, long story short, my hormones were a mess and I didn't have my period for like 5 months after I came off. So at that point I went to the gyno because I was nervous, and that's when she told me like, you know what, you should go back on birth control to regulate your period. She literally said that. And I was so adamantly against it because I just felt like all the things that we know that or that we were learning
at the time.
I was like, this doesn't make sense. Why would I go back on it? That does. And you know who was pressuring me? Mom was like, I'm scared. Go back on the pill.
Yeah. And again, that's all she knew.
Yes, that's all she knew. So I just like felt pressure. And I remember talking to Elena and Elena was like, don't do it.
Well,
like, stick to your guns and keep going. So I stood my ground.
I was just going to say, I felt like a rebel at the time. I'm like, all of this and everybody, I'm gonna do what I feel is best for me now because no one's helping
me. And you didn't need to. You could have easily just been like, okay.
So I literally said to my doctor, no. Which, by the way, yes, you can deny a prescription.
Yes.
Like, she tried to say, oh, do you want to pick it up at your local CVS? I was like, don't even skip the part to the checkout. Like, I said no.
You didn't even give consent.
I said no. Like, I don't need you to do this to
and
me.
And not dissing on gynos. There's some incredible gynos out there, but there's a ton that'll try to, like, mess with you.
Yeah.
I just think it's so funny. You and Carly always say gyno. Like, I say OBGYN.
I'll never not say gyno.
That's too hard to say.
Is gyno the right thing? I feel like it's like slang.
Elena, OBGYN was the hardest thing for me to remember. I couldn't remember those letters in a row.
Well, that's weird.
Okay.
But I know how to say OBGYN. But it's like, what are we saying? The alphabet? Like, it's a gynecologist.
It's okay, a gyno.
That's how you feel. I mean, I'm not going to say
that. And anyway, so I said no.
Weigh in, crowd. What do you say?
And then around this time, I said no. So I was like, okay, I need to work with the functional medicine doctor to figure this out. So she helped actually pinpoint like the imbalances. I went to my appointment and she looked at my face. She looked at my eyes and she said, you have a liver problem.
Wow.
She said, you're not detoxifying anything.
Yeah. Well, your body just wasn't like, operating properly.
It's amazing. And then the color of my pupils, she just like knew just by looking at me.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure hormonal birth control alters your liver on some level. I don't know exactly how, but it does impact. And think about all the synthetic hormones your liver has to detox while you're on it.
And she gave me like a bunch of supplements and told me lifestyle adjustments, diet things I should change. And as I started to implement that stuff, like I went back to the gyno to get another like check-in. And she said my uterine lining was growing. And I said, I got to keep going because it's working.
Yes, you were encouraged.
I got my period, I think it was 11 months after I came off the pill. And that was a really long time because like Julie was saying, some people get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And you got yours relatively quick, right?
Yes, I did
but
a couple months.
But for me, like it's not normal that it took so long. It was clear that I had issues that I needed to fix.
It's common.
Yes, to get it back. So that was a long story long.
Yeah, no, that was perfect. I think we do get that question a lot. It's been 6 months after I've come off birth control. Like, I don't have my period. What do I do? So just know that it is common. It is going to take some time for your body to get your period back because your hormones, your natural hormones weren't being produced for however long you were on that medication for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take a little time. Like if you go back to that car metaphor, if you're turning that car on after 10 years, it might have a really hard time like pushing fluid through one of the tubes or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So be gentle with your body. And we'll touch on that again in the next episode about how to take care of your body after birth control.
Yeah. Julie, actually, ironically enough, like was not even on birth control for that long. So do you want to actually talk about
where were you this whole time?
Yeah, why like, didn't we talk? Were we friends?
I was like, I ain't taking that I took it and our gyno, we all went to the same gyno.
OBGYN.
In Garden City. Shout out to her. She was actually a badass. She was actually cool. Wait, did we have the same gyno?
Yes.
Yeah, her name.
Oh, don't say her name.
I'm not going to say her name. She was actually cool with me. She must have liked me.
I get something. It. She
was cool with us too.
I'm joking. She was so cool. So anyway, she put me on, and then I was like, I feel like a year or two later, I was like, I don't like the way, maybe it was a year and a half. I was like, I don't like the way this is making me feel. I feel so weird. Like, I didn't feel like myself. And at the time, I don't even know how I noticed that that was happening to me when I was so young. I mean, I'm in high school. Like, I had a boyfriend at the time too. And it just blows my mind that I like had this gut feeling that I feel weird. So anyway, I went to her and she was like, okay, no problem. Like, let's just try a different dose. So we did a lower...
Low estrin.
That's the one.
24.
I can't even remember what it's called until Carly just said that. It's called low estrin. And I tried that. And then I tried that for a few more months. And then at my next gyno appointment, it was probably 6 months later. I wish I had a journal and like knew the exact dates and times of everything, but I don't. And I'm pretty sure it was 6 months later. I went in and then I was like, I still feel the same. I don't like the way this is making me feel. And like, I also just hate having to remember to take it every day, like taking the pill and putting it in your body. It was just so weird. I hated it. And she was like, all right, like, you sure you want to come off? And I was like, yep. And at the time, I remember telling my mom, being like, I want to come off. And I know she was a little annoyed at me, our mom. But
seems
then,
like a day, just a daily.
But then she ended up.
She's like, just another day with you, Julie.
No, she was annoyed that I made that decision, but she didn't give me like too much.
I feel like maybe because you were like the third and the youngest, she was just exhausted.
She was tired.
Regardless what she said, I was not going to go back on it because I just did not. Like, make decisions for your body. Like, yeah, it's your own body. Like, it's not like I was in middle school. I was in high school. I knew how to say yes or no.
Can I just say that we were all on low estrin. And then I remember when I didn't feel good, I forgot about this. When I didn't feel good, I went to the doctor and she put me on low estrin because it had less hormones. I remember she switched me and I still felt like
even lower option.
Oh yeah. Yes, I low, see it. Low estrin.
It's the low dose birth control pill.
Wow.
And it still has
mind blown. So moral of the story, I ended up coming off and my gyno was cool with it. And then my mom didn't really care. And then I was just like smart. I mean, I didn't know anything about
Julie always like humble brags, but I'm just saying,
I'm joking. I didn't know that this would benefit me now, but it's interesting because I didn't know back then, like, that you can get pregnant
six days out of the month.
Like, I didn't know any of this stuff. I thought you can get pregnant every day of the month. Like, there was just so much I didn't know. And I'm just shocked that
you were just following your intuitive guidance.
I was intuitive, but like, you know, I never got pregnant back then and never had a scare.
Yeah.
I did take Plan B once, but
Julie, in full disclosure. Wow. But anyway.
Full disclosure. Wow. That's probably why my gut is still tripping.
But anyway,
so that was my story. I wasn't on it for long, and that was it. And my story's boring. Sorry.
So anyway, this episode's super long. We were gonna answer some Q&As, but we're just gonna save that for a different episode and just do them all at once.
It'll be like rapid fire Q&A.
Before we leave though, I do feel like we should leave you with some resources if you want to learn more about birth control and how it's impacting your body. And you don't want to take our word for it. We get it. There are so many amazing books out there now, like Your Brain on Birth Control by Sarah Hill, Beyond the Pill by Dr. Jolene Brighton. That was a massive one for Carly and I.
That book actually, I think, helped me get my period back.
Yeah.
She has a whole meal plan in there too. Oh, it's unbelievable. You should definitely
phenomenal.
Get it.
She's a phenomenal doctor and women's health advocate.
Mm-hmm. If you have not seen the Business of Birth Control documentary, please promise us that you will. I will link it in the description. Please promise us that you will watch it. You will never see birth control in the same way because you'll learn about the history of it. It's really interesting.
It is a pharmaceutical. We got to remember that. So it's a part of that whole world. There is a business behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Another really good book that I personally haven't read but heard good things about is Sweetening the Pill, How We Got Hooked on Hormonal Birth Control. So that's just learning more about how the pill impacts your body and hormonal birth control in general. And then we also really want to make sure we stress the importance of understanding how your body works as a woman. So
because when you come off the pill, you're going to experience the four phases of your cycle. So these are the resources that help you understand that better.
So
I feel like we have to plug our program, bro.
I know. I was just going to say Power of Periodization. That's what we do for a living. Literally, we teach you about the natural ebbs and flows of your hormones and how to live in alignment with your hormones and take care of your body and all the foundations that
we'll
go along
with
it. We'll
give you a sweet little discount in the show notes.
She just winked.
Wink. But Alyssa Vitti, she was a massive, massive influence in our lives when we were going through post-birth control syndrome. So her books like Woman Code, In the Flow, those are amazing for you
Woman
to educate.
Woman Code is so good.
So good. And then we mentioned Lisa Hendrickson Jack. She has the book, The Fifth Vital Sign. Phenomenal learning all about
fertility awareness and hormonal birth control and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The Period Power by Maisie Hill is unbelievable as well. And I love the way she puts these like images in her book. And she, I would argue that I liked her book a little bit better than Woman Code.
Well, they're different. They're so different.
Both are equally. Hers was more like telling the story. Like she's good at storytelling, and that's how I learn. It's better for me to learn that way. I think instead of being like, here's the science, she helps you really understand.
I couldn't agree more. That book is so good. And then also I would say read Fix Your Period by Nicole Jardim. Mm-hmm. She's just such a wealth of knowledge, everything.
Yeah, and all these people, you got to follow them on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Also, keep in mind, these people have free podcasts. They have so much education on their podcasts. They have blogs. They have free resources on their websites. There's just so much out there.
We also just recently met Dr. Aviva Ram, and she is like an incredible resource as well. So check her out.
Her book is called Hormone Intelligence.
Okay. Here's the next tip. Just please remember to be intuitive and check in with your body and start to record all of your symptoms that are going on. Because remember where Julie was saying she didn't make the connection between her symptoms and like birth control? Here's the time to be like, okay, starting now, anything that pops up, just write it down. And this is why cycle tracking is so important. Whether it's on an app or you could do it on paper. We actually sell a daily cycle journal. It's like $10 to print out. Just start somewhere.
Just the body literacy, like checking in with your body and knowing what's going on and writing it down so that when you go to your doctor, if you want to go to your doctor and say, I'd like to talk about how birth control is affecting me, you have literally lists and lists of things and observations that have gone on for you and you can speak to them instead of just when they ask you questions, you say, I'm not really sure, you know?
And lastly, I mean, there's a million things we can say, but see a functional medicine doctor or practitioner. So while conventional doctors are incredible at what they do, it's unfortunate that they're not actually trained in treating the root cause of your problem. So it's not that they are inherently bad at all. They're amazing for so many things, but they're not the right doctor for you if you're trying to heal your symptoms.
They're not going to be looking at things from a holistic perspective. So there's a lot of doctors you can see virtually. I feel like it's really come up now. There's a lot of functional medicine doctors around that you can find. And then also there's a lot of really incredible women's health practitioners in our space as well.
Yeah, that we
love. Who are doctors, who are nutritionists and dietitians and
FDNTP something.
functional practitioners.
Nutritional.
Yeah. And yes, functional nutrition practitioners.
Therapy.
who can support you on all of these.
Another OBGYN situation.
Who can support you on all of the things while you're on hormonal birth control, just to get your body into some sort of balance.
We hope that this episode was hugely beneficial and informational for you. And I hope that you are inspired. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not to come off the hormonal birth control.
Just
to start learning.
All right. We love you all.
Don't leave a review.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
And just remember, it's just a phase.
You'll be all right.